Hello, Craymerica. I'm Paul Douglas Booyah. Coming up on the Mad Money Machine, show number 5. I've got a true triple buy stock if there ever was one. We're going to do another mashup for money. There's a tool in the crib that deserves some spelunking. And we'll talk dividends with the new money folks. All that and more on the Mad Money Machine. Hello and welcome to the Mad Money Machine. Each show I'll review some of Jim Cramer's featured stock picks from CNBC's most watched show, Mad Money. And I'll have lots of other and fun investment topics to talk about. And we've got a full show, so let's get right to it. But first, a disclaimer. This show does not provide any investment advice whatsoever. I'm just telling you what other people have said. Do your own homework before you spend any money. Hey, did you catch that feature of Jim Cramer and Mad Money on National Public Radio this morning, Friday, January the 13th? Oh, Friday the 13th. Better watch out. If you didn't catch it, go out to my website and you can find a link to that, or just npr.com and you can find it inside there. Before I get to all the good stuff, let's talk about some feedback. Mike writes, I try to watch Mad Money every day. I listen to Jim's first stock pick at the start of the show, and each time I rush to buy it, it's already trading up in value. I'd like to know how to get what stocks are being featured at the same time these other people get it. Can you tell me where to go and what I need to do? Well, you know what, Mike? You're experiencing the Cramer crackle. I'll talk about that in a little bit later, too. The thing is, there aren't any sellers at 6:05 Eastern Time. That's why it won't work. If you're a caller to the lightning round at about 4:30, you know, the show's pre-taped, you get to hear what he's saying during the show, but of course they prohibit you from acting upon it. That's why I base my gain or loss calculations on the after-crackle prices, because we know we can't get it at the pre-crackle, pre-mentioned price. Later at this show, I'll look at some of the stocks that are actually down in price since the closing price before he mentioned it. So maybe these stocks are ones that he still recommends that are on sale. Keith writes, should I buy Sirius stock? It's in the sixes now. What do you think? Let me know, please. Keith, go to madmoney.thestreet.com, type in ticker symbol SIRI. You'll see that Jim says, sell. Wayne writes, Paul, great podcast. The pacing is great. I really enjoy the Guru Roulette. The Microsoft Excel stock quote tool is great. Thanks for letting me know it's out there. The only suggestion I have for your show is at the end of the regular portion before you get to the beginner section. Let us know what the topic is for the beginner section in the teaser warning, letting listeners know what's coming up. I may want to listen from time to time, but I don't want to listen to the other stuff before you get to the topic. Done your way, my friend. And finally, Todd Good writes, I love your podcast. I wish I could listen to it every day on the way to work or back. Oh, man, I don't think I'm ready for a daily podcast yet. Give me a few years, or maybe a big sponsorship. Todd has a family coffee roasting business, and he sent me some of his Waterfront Roasters coffee. It is delicious. If you want to get in touch with Todd to buy some of that smooth and distinct coffee, email me and I'll hook you up. Or you can visit the website, waterfrontroasters.com. It's in construction, but keep checking until they complete their site update. What are the earliest memories you have about money? They say these memories often shape your thoughts about money today. Here's mine. When I was about 6 years old, my grandmother gave me 5 cents to go around the block to the only convenience store in the neighborhood to buy candy. Candy cost a penny in those days. I had the system down, though. I go to the counter and ask for 4 pieces of candy, pay for it with the nickel, and get a penny back in change. Then I'd walk out of the store and right back into the store and buy 1 more piece of candy. Why? Because if I bought 5 pieces of candy all at once, I would be required to pay 1 cent tax on the purchase. By breaking up my purchase into 2 stages, I was able to get my 5 pieces of candy without paying the tax. No, it didn't lead to a future of tax evasion, but it has led to an attitude of tax management and tax consciousness. The Motley, subscribe to our newsletter, Fool, has an article you can get from the NPR website that talks about the tax inefficiencies of Cramer's trading style. The Fools say, buy and hold may be a boring mantra, but it works even for volatile growth stocks. You'll see on the portfolio page I have out at madmoneymachine.com that I'm mindful of the tax consequences of selling short-term. Cramer says, don't even worry about the taxes. Pay them and be glad. He uses the 2000 crash as the example that people should have sold at the top because the loss in value was much more than the loss of paying the short-term capital gains tax. Hey, I've said it before, I'm not a tax advisor. But I got to think that where we can get away with paying the long-term capital gains instead of the short-term capital gains, the better we off we are. In fact, in that little book that beats the market, I keep bringing it up, the strategy there is to hold the stocks that you buy for 1 year. And if they're losers, sell them the day before the 1 year's up. And if they're winners, sell them the day after the 1 year's up. The difference being the short-term capital loss and long-term capital gain. Time now for the Mad Money Review. Hey, did you see the ad for the Booyah contest? If you didn't catch it, the website there is supposed to be CNBC Booyah, Booyah.com. I tried to go there today and it gave me an error, bad request, invalid host name. But here's my entry anyway. Booyah. All right, let's do the Mad Money Review. I've talked about the Cramer crackle and how when he mentions a stock, it immediately trades up and opens higher the next day. Here are some stocks that are not only down below the Cramer crackle price, but also, as of Friday midday, down below the closing price on the day he mentioned it. So let's just go through these real quick. December 20th, he mentioned Alberto Culver, symbol ACV, the retail release of Nexus products. But since his mentioned, it was announced, it had announced a merger with Regis Corp. Also, it was downgraded by Bear Stearns from outperform to peer perform. It is down about 0.5% since the closing price the day that he mentioned it. Okay, you know what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the closing price on that day that he mentioned it. And of course, when he mentions it, it goes up. And then what's happened there is it's come back down. December 23rd, Genentech, DNA. Is the ticker symbol. It is down 8.6% since the closing price. He did say to buy it under 90. Well, it's at about 85, 86 something right now. But he said it may be time to take some money off the table on Genentech and put it into the brand new biotech pantheon, Zymogenetics, symbol ZGEN, and Myogen, symbol MYOG. Of course, both of these have experienced the Cramer crackle and are still up. January 3rd, Neurocrine Biosciences, NBIX. It is down about 4.7%. He said it will be the winner in the sleep drug wars when its sleep drug is approved in 2006. January 6th, Schlumberger. It's down about 1%, but he said it's going to 130. It's trading today at about 106. Well, that's it for the ones recently, since about mid-December, that are down. Others that have moved the least include the Finish Line, FINL, it's up about 0.7 since the close. Suncor Energy, SU, up about 0.3%. Accredited Home Lenders, LEND, up about 0.7%. And reaching for another one here, Australia and New Zealand Banking, ANZ, up about 1.7%. Last show I did a mashup between Cramer's picks and the MagicFormula.com stocks. This week, I'm going to do another mashup, and this one's between the Investor's Business Daily 100 and Cramer's picks. I've gone out to the Investor's Business Daily had a free promotion this week, and it might be able to get it if you're fast enough. So of the 100 stocks in the Investor's Business Daily 100, 37 were most recently buys from Jim Cramer. Now, 12 of these, interestingly, he had as most recently as sells. Of those he told us to sell prior to this year. Now, there are 7 prior to January 1st that he has told us to sell that are included, that are matched up on the Investor's Business Daily 100. But those 7 are up an average of 16% since he told us to sell them. Very interesting. Well, some of the most recent buys that are in the Investor's Business Daily 100 that also match up with Cramer saying buy include TradeStation Group, TRAD. He said it's a house of pleasure. My buddy, research associate Will Slim Gabrielski, has been telling me that it's the horse to be on. That was January 5th. Cerner Corporation, CERN, best of breed. Coldwater Creek, CWTR, at 33, I'm still buying. City Trends, CTRN. He featured that on one of his shows as a regional to national retailer. Lufkin Industries, LUFK, said it goes to 75 before it quits. It's about 53 now. Southern Copper Corporation. Love the pin action in the copper business. Symbol PCU there. Tetra Technologies, TTI. Another oil service stock. It does fluid controls. The numbers are way too low. It's going to go higher. I would stick with it. Check Free Corporation. It's an unbelievably good company, CKFR. Halliburton, it's in his portfolio, HAL. Motorola, he owns that, MOT. And Rio Doce, RIO. It has a lock on the gas fields and power in Mozambique. Mentioned that just a couple days ago. Another one he mentioned just a couple days ago. And finally, Marvell Technology Group. MRVL, he said, with Broadcom and Marvell, they're the king and queen of the new tech royalty. These are just some of the ones that are mashed up together between the Investor's Business Daily and Jim Cramer's picks, some of the 37. I'll try to put all 37 out on my website, madmoneymachine.com. What about if we took the mashup from the last show, Cramer and the Magic Formula, and mashed it up with the mashup of this show? A mashup of mashups. An uber mashup. Well, of course, I did that. And what do you think came out? Only one common stock in all three of these mashups. This must be the ultimate stock. The triple buy.
Buy.
And it is Southern Copper Corporation, PCU. It's a mining company operating in Peru and Mexico. It sells to Europe, Far East, and the U.S., formerly known as Southern Peru Copper, thus the ticker symbol PCU. The company is based in Phoenix, Arizona. It has a price-to-earnings ratio of about 6, and it's currently trading just under its highs. I do own some. Why only one stock mashed up between all three of these? Well, I think the Magic Formula and Investor's Business Daily have fundamentally different philosophies about how to pick stocks. Investor's Business Daily tends to have a sort of a momentum-based investment approach. It picks stocks based on the fact that they've been going up. The Magic Formula, however, tends to pick companies because their prices are low relative to earnings. So PCU is the only one that fit the bill there. It's time now for Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble. Then for the selected guru, give a little background on their investment philosophy and try to pick a stock that matches it. So here we go. Popped right out of Warren Buffett again, and this time into Harry S. Dent. Harry S. Dent is another age wave guy. Harry Dent is probably the original age wave guy. He wrote 1994's The Great Boom Ahead, which contends that the economic trends are highly predictable and forecast an unprecedented boom in the late 90s. Hey, got one right. He also wrote 1999's The Roaring 2000, and then wrote 2004's The Next Great Bubble Boom. His whole thing is to look closely at demographic trends. He says the best leading indicator is birth rates, and then predict what will happen in the economy in the future when the number of people in each age group changes. The most significant change coming, of course, is baby boomers are just now turning 60. It's the pig through the python. As for the stock market, he draws a parallel between today and about 80 to 81 years ago. He says that there was a crash in 1920-21, before the big crash in 1929. The 21 crash was just like our crash of 2000-2002, and that the roaring 20s followed up that big crash until the big crash of 1929. He's saying that we will have another boom like the roaring 20s up until the big crash of 2010. Now, if you don't want to buy the book, you can get a flavor of his writings for just 49 cents in an article he published at Amazon.com last August. I have a link to that on my website. Jim Cramer claimed the Cramer Tech Rally. Harry Dent, in last August's article, said, "We are now projecting a third, even steeper, tech-led bubble into 2010 and another great boom ahead." On page 293 of the Roaring 2000s book, though, there's this chart called the Dow Channel Projection, 1997 to 2008, and it shows a stock price chart that projects that by 2008, the Dow will be at 21,500. Oh, and by the way, it also projects that by 2006, the Dow would be at least 16,000. Oops. Hey, we're just happy to have made it past 11,000, aren't we? Now, just for fun, I'm going to get a second opinion on the market and where the market will be by the year 2010. I'm going to go out to the Magic 8 Ball website and ask for its prediction on the market. You've seen the Magic 8 Ball. You've seen one in the real world. It's this big 8 Ball thing. You ask it a question, then you turn it over, and the answer appears in a little window. There's a simulator of it on the web, and I'll have the link to that website in my show notes. So let's ask the 8 Ball. Will there be a big market crash in the year 2010? And I click the button. Up comes the answer. It says, "You may rely on it." Uh-oh. So there you have it. Harry Dent and the Magic 8 Ball both say crash in 2010. Well, Harry Dent's latest article is available on Amazon for the low, low price of 49 cents. And with the Magic 8 Ball priced at just $7, I think the article is a real bargain. Anyway, where does our guru say to invest? He says focus on these sectors: large cap and small cap growth, technology, financial services, healthcare, biotech, leisure and gaming, consumer cyclicals, and Asia. He said tech, small cap, and biotech should be the best sectors to add near term. I guess ETFs that would match these categories, large and small cap, VCR and VBK, the Vanguard. Technology is VGT, Vanguard. Financial services, except for mortgage lending, VFH. The healthcare, VHT. Biotech, I have to go to PBE here, the power shares. Leisure and gaming, PEJ, power shares. Consumer cyclicals, out to iShares for IYC. And then Asia, the VPL, back to Vanguard. Of course, what the caution about ETFs is that if you're investing small amounts or making frequent contributions, you'd be better off in an index mutual fund as a less expensive way to invest in the long run. Do your homework there also. Well, that's our guru for show number 5, Harry S. Dent. It's time now for Tools in the Crib. This is where I pick a website, a book, a TV show, a newspaper column, or something you should have in your investing tool crib. I was going to pick the Magic 8 Ball, but I thought better of it. This time, I've got to go with finance.yahoo.com. I know everybody's seen finance.yahoo.com, but finance.yahoo.com is like a big cave that has lots of unexplored regions inside of it. That's where we need to go spelunking. Have you taken the time to explore all the corners available at finance.yahoo.com? No, you haven't. Take, for example, the ETF Center. It has the ETF browser that allows you to see the top performing ETF funds today, 3 months ago, 3 months, year to date, 1 year, and 5 years, as if there were ETFs 5 years ago. Just click on the operations tab there and you'll see the expense ratios of these ETFs. And then you can compare and see why the Vanguard funds are less expensive than many of the other choices that you have. So I encourage you to go out to finance.yahoo.com and explore this week's tool in the crib. We've come out of the darkness into the dawn of a new year. I was dreaming when I wrote this. Forgive me if it goes astray. But when I woke up this morning, could have sworn it was Judgment Day. The sky was all purple. There were people running everywhere, trying to run from the destruction. You know, I didn't even care. Because they say, 2000, party over. Oops, out of time. So tonight I'm going to party like it's 1999. Well, that's what it felt like in the stock market since the ball dropped. We haven't had consecutive up days like that in a long, long time, it feels like. Let's go pumping for profits. Okay, if you haven't been listening to the Mad Money Machine yet, what we're doing here is we picked a portfolio challenge amongst ourselves. We picked a portfolio of exchange-traded funds in different sectors and different regions across the world. And we're comparing that buy-and-hold strategy versus a selection of Jim Cramer's recent favorite stock picks in 10 categories. You can see on the website, under the Portfolio tab, a daily update of these, a comparison of these. So what we're testing in 2006 is whether we can make more money actively picking the best stocks that Cramer suggests, or if we should just take the lazy approach and plop it into ETFs. So how are we doing so far? Well, as of Thursday, the Cramer portfolio, the MMM Cramer portfolio, is up about 7.4%. The ETF portfolio is up about 4.1%. Now, the Cramer portfolio had gotten up to about 10.3% at the peak, and then there's been some selling in some stocks. And it made some adjustments to the portfolio this week. Cramer said, Palomar, symbol PMTI, is now the best of breed laser company. He said PMTI has more patent protection than its competitors. So I swapped out, sold Cynosure, CYNO, sold Cynosure at a loss for PMTI. Also, InGlobal had a big run, symbol ENG, and Cramer said to take some off the table. Well, I took it all off just for convenience and replaced it with another of his favorites, Neighbors, NBR. Finally, GameStop, GME, had a nice jump in price. So I replaced it with one of his other recent suggestions of a retailer, City Trends. You can see all the numbers out on the madmoneymachine.com. It's the moment you've all been waiting for. I'm now going to give away the Cramer book and the rare notepad. But before I do, I want to say thanks to all of you who entered. As a special favor to me, would you please go out to the madmoneymachine.com website and click on that vote button and register your vote for this show? I appreciate it. Well, here's how we're going to give away the, here's how we're going to select the winner. I'm going to go out to random.org/n form.html. I'm going to say generate one random integer. The smallest is one, the largest is the total number of entries, and format it in one column, and press Get Numbers. The number that comes up will correspond to the correct email as I received it in the order that I received it. So the first email I got was number one. Here's the website. I press the button. Number that comes back is 16. And the winner is Zachary Katkin. K-A-T-K-I-N. So Zachary Katkin, please email me your mailing address by the 23rd of January, please. It's about 10 days. That should be enough time for you to have heard the show, right? Otherwise, I may have to go back into the hopper. Congratulations, Zachary Katkin, for winning the book and the Mad Money Notepad. So coming up in the new money segment, what are dividends? Well, the Mad Money Machine has a pretty broad audience, ranging from possibly Jim Cramer himself all the way down to little kids. So I want to put some of the stuff in for those who are new to stocks and investing at the end. I'll place this beginner-level material at the end of each show so that the experts can either grab a kid or a newbie and listen to it or skip to the next show on your iPod. So experts, that's it for you. Please subscribe to the podcast feed to get another review of Jim Cramer's Mad Money, another spin at Guru Roulette, and we'll look and see how well our portfolio for 2006 is doing in the new year. Don't forget to read the website at madmoneymachine.com and send your questions, comments, complaints, criticisms, and suggestions for improvement to feedback@madmoneymachine.com. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying, it takes money to make money, and it takes stock to make a mad money machine. Hey, new investors, welcome. What is a dividend? When a company earns money, it's got to decide what to do with it, right? One thing it can do is use the money to keep growing the company, like Starbucks building more Starbucks. But another thing a company can do with it is to pay some of that back to its shareholders. That's called a dividend. Dividends are usually paid in cash, but sometimes they're paid in shares of stock in the company. So let's pretend you buy 100 shares in a company for $50 per share. That's a total of a $5,000 investment. This company that you bought pays dividends to its stockholders every 3 months, quarterly, and the amount of that dividend is 50 cents per share that you own. Since you own 100 shares, that's $50 that you get in dividends every 3 months. With a quarterly dividend of 50 cents, it works out that over a full year, the amount they would pay to you would therefore be $2 per share. For your 100 shares, you'd get $200 every year. That works out to be about 4% per year you get back from the company as long as you hold their stock. What do you do with this money that the company pays you in dividends? You can either have the brokerage company that holds the stock for you put the money into a cash account, or you can have them buy more stock in the company that gave you the dividend. That's called reinvesting the dividend. On the next show, I'll talk more about the power of reinvested dividends and what Jeremy Siegel calls the return accelerator. When you own stock in a company that pays you dividends, you own a mad money machine. We're going to shut down this mad money machine for now. Check back next time for more Mad Money Review. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer. I'll see you next time. You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. All music played on this program was made possible by music.podshow.com. The Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, TheStreet.com, Real Money, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on this show. Although the information discussed on this program is believed to be reliable, Mr. Boyer and the producers of this program do not make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness, nor do they assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profitability of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by Mr. Boyer and any of his guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.